B-Pod Studios.
One website connects you to everything Boston sports.
That place is rocking.
Your favorite shows on demand.
Oh, no, they're hooping and a hollering.
And puppets.
And more.
Seriously, like, who does that?
Boston's online home for sports. 98.5, thesportshub.com.
It's called the Toucher and Rich Show, but you can't forget Waller.
You explain it to me, John. Explain
honey,
it.
Honey.
Did you call him honey?
I did. This is like the argument I had with my wife last night.
Pull it.
Now, more Toucher and Rich.
We're Toucher and Rich, and Rich is riding in the Pan Mass Challenge. You can donate. Look on our Twitter page or our Facebook page. And we were talking about, like, if Rich went and did the, like, real long one, which he's not doing this time, that it's crazy. And it says this. I got an email. Hey, Fred, please don't knock bikers who say on your left as casual rich-type biker. I find it much preferable to have pastors announce themselves than to be surprised when someone suddenly whooshes by 4 inches from you. All I know is I don't want to hit anyone. I don't want to hit anyone. And I find it very nerve-wracking. It's no one's fault but my own. I find it very, very nerve-wracking. And I don't want to hit anyone. That's my problem, is I don't want to hit anyone.
I prefer on your left. The little biking that I've done, I'd rather hear that, and I'd rather say that than, for some reason, that little dingy bell is the most passive-aggressive thing that anyone could buy. That little ding, 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 because that thing usually comes when you're about to get rammed. Like, they put that when they're right on your head, ring, ring, ring. I'd rather have somebody slowly come up to you and go, on your left, and then gently you can move over. That seems to be something that someone who isn't a jerk would do.
The only problem is that, like, when you're in Hilton Head or something, and it's just, it's and it's no one's fault, but it's, again, just my thing, and then you're like, walking, like, with your kids or something, and you're just trying to enjoy yourself, and there's this barrage of, okay, everyone.
Well, you know, that's the one good thing about at least the city of Boston is that there's a ton of bike lanes, so you don't have to be on the same place that people are walking.
Doesn't make it any less dangerous, Rich.
I don't know.
If you're in your own bike lane, you're not supposed to be walking in a bike lane. I hate that sound. It's so passive aggressive. It's like a kid sound. Basically, right before you could potentially get plowed. I like the on your left way much better.
That bike sound, I wouldn't even know what was going on. Like, I wouldn't even know what that is. But I might prefer, and I don't want to do either, riding a bike in downtown Boston rather than driving in downtown Boston.
It's something that I do a decent amount. And to be honest, I mean, it sucks that you can only do it like 5 months out of the year, you know, in Boston, because it's so damn cold and there's snow and all that crap. But, I mean, if it was nice 12 months out of the year and you could ride your bike, I would do it a hell of a lot more. I do it a ton in the summer just to go, to go to the store or stuff like
don't
that.
Don't go to Cambridge.
Why? Cambridge is all right. I bike over there all the time.
They've taken away an extra travel lane on Mass Ave from the Arlington line almost down into like Kendall Square. So through Porter Square and Harvard Square and it goes bus lane, I think, then bike lane, then travel lane, and it's chaos. It's absolute.
So you got to go on both ends.
Absolute chaos. Mm-hmm.
Nice. Yeah.
You see,
everyone's angry. Rich.
For the most part, in Boston, they've carved out, and they did it during the pandemic, so I didn't see them do it. They did a lot of bike lanes during the pandemic, but they've actually like added a bike lane. Now, there's some times where you're riding in traffic, and the one thing that you got to learn is, I guess, you don't be an a-hole. Like, if you're getting in traffic, you better haul ass, and you better follow the traffic rules, too. You stop at the lights, you do all that stuff, because I understand how people driving can get mad. I don't want to be the a-hole
people get mad at. You have to decide. I agree with that. You have to decide, because there have been bikers when I'm driving in Boston that take over like we belong here, and they'll forcefully force you to move out a little to the left to make sure that they have enough room, but then they'll go through lights. So you have to decide. Yeah. Which rules are you following?
I get that when I'm on a bike, the world hates me. I understand that. So what I want to do is I want to not be that guy that you hate and follow all the rules. And when there's a bike lane, I'm in the bike lane. I'm not ramming you off the sidewalk.
I'd say you're in the minority here.
Well, to be honest, I would say 90% of the bikers are like that.
I disagree. Not my experience.
Okay. Well, once again, this is just because I'm on the bike lanes. 90% of the people I see do it right. But 10%, there's a lot of bikers, so 10% can cause a little bit of chaos.
Yeah, it's also with numbers sometimes comes a little bit of arrogance. But listen, all I know is I don't want to hit anyone. I got in trouble one time in Atlanta with the bikers, and it wasn't even anything I said. It was some crash set, and he got away scot-free while I had to take all the punishment.
Now, granted, there's also the other side of it, and that is people parking their trucks in bike lanes. So when people get
where?
Where?
Columbia Avenue. So good luck doing that. But if you want to hear an album that is almost entirely about how much someone hated being a bike messenger in Chicago, Alkaline Trio's first album, God damn it, almost every song is about how much he hated being a bike messenger.
Yeah, and you know what? Even with the bike, I've almost been hit twice. Like there was a matter of fact last week. There was a guy who just like wasn't looking and veered over into the bike lane and knocked me onto the sidewalk. So he didn't hit me, but I fell off my bike. So, I mean, there's, you know, for all the people who complain about bikers, there's a lot of a-hole drivers who aren't paying attention as well.
No, I just, all I want is, no, I don't want to hit anyone. I don't need that in my life.
And I don't want to be the guy that people hate. It's kind of like a nice ballet, I think, that you should just do.
It doesn't happen frequently enough for me to get angry about it anymore. But I'll tell you what, in Atlanta, like we were having a conversation, something like this, and then Crash said something outrageous. And but you never really thought about it because you're not like it's like black people or like you know Chinese people or something. You don't think of it. And oh boy, the bike people, when they get mad at you, hachi machi.
Oh sure,
they do. They organize and they make your life miserable.
Oh yeah, it's because if you do that every day, I could see how your level of rage can be at a simmer.
And they're organized and they're very organized.
Oh yeah, just because on the rides I do through the city sometimes, you're constantly looking to your left to see if a car is going to verge into your lane and smash you. I mean, there's that feeling. So I can see how if you're a regular biker, you get pretty pissed if somebody says something like that.
So I just want to make it clear, very clear, that I am on the side of just no one getting injured. Mm-hmm, that is as lame and as a take as that can be. That is what I'm on the side. No one get mad at me. This is not the hell I'm dying on. In fact, I don't think I've said anything. I was just saying if Rich was to start doing like the 150 mile challenges, that he would have to regale himself in every accoutrement that is known to the sport.
Sure. You think that a squadron of people on 10 speed Schwinn's are going to show up in your front yard?
No. Oh, John.
No. John, you have John, no idea.
If you're joking around about it, you have no idea. I got in trouble with every group of people in Atlanta. It was that era of radio. And I mean, I won't mention the groups because I'm not proud of it. Some of them.
The Tim Tebow fans, yes.
Well, that here was just ludicrous. Yeah. But this is Atlanta. Like, we got in a lot of trouble. My show there, you know, whatever, it was like shock radio. A lot of it was dumb. And a lot of it I'm not, like, proud of. Some of it I am, but some of it I'm not. And the number one organized group that did the most damage the most quickly was bicyclists. We would sit on the radio like amazed just at how like organized these guys were, and they go after sponsors and all this stuff. It was crazy.
And by the way, the thing is being on both sides of it, I know how pissed I can get when some guy is driving and weaving in and out of traffic. Yeah. You're putting everyone in danger. But I also know that, like, you know, every major city pretty much has bike lanes, and there's places for bikers. And I love people, like someone says, like, people on bikes in the city should be launched into the sun. No, that's part of being in a city. Every major city has bike lanes, and that's because some people get around that way. As a matter of fact, what do you want, like a million more cars on the road? I'd rather have a dedicated lane so people can get the F out of your way. I have no problem with that. I mean, that's every city has it. And if you didn't, then you're way behind in the times.
Have you ever had like a kid that was like Dutch on one of your teams that you coached? and like he'll show up on a bike like 5 miles away.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Because like the Danish people just are like, oh, we have the bikes.
Well, if you go to Copenhagen, which I was, I mean, it's a biking city that secondary they put the cars around it.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, it's like bikes first, and then it's cars
just be
secondary.
Funny because it'd be like places I'd never imagined a kid like having the endurance to like get to it. We'd be like 5 miles away at some game, and the kid would show up with his backpack on his bike, and he's just like, "I rock my bike everywhere."
The rule is just don't be an a-hole. Either both sides of it. No, just come on.
I want as least amount of stress in my life as possible.
Sure.
All right.
All right. We got. Do you want to take a call here? Because this is not going to be anyone who's going to get you in trouble, Fred.
Okay, we can take a call.
All right, Ben. What's up, man? How you doing?
Hey, so, you know, Fred, I got to say, like, people hating bikes, I agree with Rich, because at the end of the day, I've almost been killed on my bike in the city a bunch of times, and I'm not crazy, I'm not one of the crazy bikers, but this lady who zoomed past me on a straightaway, and then not in an intersection, just turned right onto a side street, and almost killed me, I had to slam on my brakes, I still hit the back of her car with my front wheel, she got out of her car, and I said, what the hell are you doing? And she said, oh, well, you know, bikes don't always do everything right either. And that was her logic for why she almost killed me. And I'm like, well, how is that logic?
Hey, guns don't kill people. People kill people.
It's just don't be an a-hole. Like, everybody, like, just do what you're supposed to do and don't be an a-hole. And really, it all comes down to that, because there's a million bikers who are a-holes, absolutely. Have I seen them? Yes. Am I shocked at how few of them there are once I actually got out there? Yeah, there are. But when they're an a-hole, it's gratuitous. And the cars, absolutely do I see people cutting into bike lanes, parking into bike lanes, ramming me onto a sidewalk when I'm doing everything right. Yes, of course that happens. Just don't be an a-hole on both sides of it, and I think we'll all learn to, you know, tolerate each other. We don't have to like each other, but we can tolerate each other.
We'll all get along.
Yes, yes, yes.
All right. Well, we do have an emergency fart court that will be coming up, but not just quite yet, as we'll talk some Red Sox coming up, I believe, in just a moment. We'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Right now.
It's like they're all on laughing gas.
It's Tusher and Rich.
Slow. Yeah, everything's in slow motion.
On Boston's home for sports.
These are the kind of people that take snoozes under trees.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
While you might have been sleeping, is the Tusher and Rich radio show. Your Boston Red Sox have been putting on a bit of a show. In fact, they had the audacity to win the 2 games against the Cardinals that I was at. I don't appreciate that.
19-4 in the month of June.
And you have the best stat of all of them, and that is during that run, how many games did they gain on the Yankees?
Half a game. That's how good the Yankees are.
Yeah, the Yankees are
half they gained half a game after winning 19 of 23.
The Red Sox have the 3rd best record of the American League, yet they are 11 games behind the Yankees.
Yes, the Yankees are a good team. I will go on the
yes.
a record and say that. Jen McCaffrey writes about the Red Sox for The Athletic. She joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Jen, thank you so much for the time.
Thanks for having me, guys.
All right, so Duran is playing well. Duran is a kid that, you know, he's got some tools. He's fast. He's hitting. And now they go, we're going to go up to Toronto, which is a pretty good situation. And you can't go because you're not vaccinated. Now, in fairness, Jen, he is doing research on it. So, you know, like maybe he'll.
That's a comment. I believe that's an actual comment.
That is a comment.
He's still doing his research.
Still researching.
He's got every American medical journal out. He's got a stethoscope. He's got a microscope. He's got everything. So, how frustrating do you think that is to the Red Sox? And I know Hawk can't go either, but young player, you know, getting
hot.
Some playing time, succeeding. How frustrating is that to the Red Sox?
Yeah, I mean, you know, they're not going to come out and publicly say it, but I think it's pretty frustrating. You've got two pretty important guys for their team that aren't going to be there. And, you know, yeah, like you said, Duran's been on this hot streak filling in for Kike Hernandez, who's been out on the IL, and Tanner Houck obviously has taken over that closer's role and been really good in it for them. So, yeah, not having those two guys is a big blow to them in a series where this is, you know, has wild card implications and is going to be a tough series. So, yeah, they're not going to come out and say it, but I wouldn't be surprised if they're pretty frustrated with it. But at the same time, they have to live with it. Those are the rules, and that's what those guys chose. So, so they're going to go in there and kind of see what they can get out of this series in Toronto.
Okay, Jen. So let's have some fun, because we've been talking about this. I think it was on Friday that there was a report, Thursday or Friday, we talked about it on Friday, that Buster Olney, who is, as I said, he doesn't throw things against the wall. He's usually fairly well informed. And when he says something, there's some knowledge behind it. He talked about if things go badly between the Yankees and Aaron Judge, that a team that could possibly swoop in and try to blow him away with an offer would be the Red Sox. Now, this is a team that let Mookie Betts walk. This is a team that seems to be intent on letting Xander Bogaerts walk, and a team that, just from the reports from John Heyman at the beginning of the season, make it sound like they're $100 million away from what Devers is looking for. Is that something in a million years that would happen?
It doesn't seem likely to me. Yeah, I saw that, and I was thought the same exact thing. I was thinking this would be a disaster. People would, you know, flip out over, you know, not having Mookie the right fielder, and then you bring in Aaron Judge like that. Obviously he's a tremendous player, but I don't think that would go over well here. And you're, like you said, you're still in the middle of trying to re-sign your own homegrown guys and Bogaerts and Devers. So giving Judge, you know, a massive deal would just be counterintuitive, obviously. So yeah, I don't know. I'm sure there's merit behind it, and maybe, you know, there's some how deals go. People say they're interested and maybe they're not, and that kind of thing. So I don't think that, you know, he's putting out false information by any means. I think it's just, yeah, one of those situations where people maybe float things and who knows, maybe they'll pull a weird signing out of their hat.
Sure.
But I don't know. I can't see that going well here with everything that kind of, in the context of everything that's happened with all these contract signings that they haven't made. I don't think that people would be welcoming Aaron Judge with open arms if he came here.
Here's the thing though, Jen. I mean, this ownership has seen what happened with John Lester. They've seen what happened with other free agents. Why lowball Devers at the start? Why mess around? I don't understand that at all.
That is the $1 million question, and maybe the $300 million question. Like, what are you doing? Like, why are you doing this again? Like, John Henry even said he thought, you know, he learned and said that was a mistake and one of the bigger mistakes that they've made. He's talked about it publicly of how, you know, they thought that they messed that up. So here's a second chance, and it seems like it's happening again. And yeah, they still have a little time, but to this point, it hasn't looked good. So what are they doing and why are they handling it this way is something that we're all kind of wondering. And maybe they have some magic trick up their sleeve they're going to try to figure out this offseason or, you know, after the season ends. But it is pretty, you know, confounding that this is the way they're handling things after, you know, so many other, bungled contract situations in the previous years.
What kind of hope do you have for Chris Sale upon his return? I know that he is, you know, trying to ramp himself up. I mean, the good news is, I guess this rotation, I think, is better than most people expected it was going to be.
I think they substitute the word everybody.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone thought they'd be this good.
Right. It is a shock. But I mean, what are you expecting out of Chris Sale when he returns?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the one thing is that you don't need him to come in and be, you know, the Chris Sale of years past. So that's good. Like you said, you know, the rotation has really turned itself around and been, and, you know, or not even turned itself around. They've been just really good all year for the most part. I think he's going to come in and kind of be, you know, maybe like a four inning, you know, guy at the outset, you know, kind of give you a few innings there, start building up throughout the year. And, you know, he's going to be okay. You know, I think similar to last year. He came off the Tommy John in August and had those 9 starts, and he was good for some of them. And obviously he tired out after a while. And I think that probably had to do with the fact he hadn't pitched in a year and a half. The thing with this injury is it's not anything to do with the arm. So that's a good thing. It's just that he hasn't pitched in a while. So is he going to be accurate? Is he going to be able to kind of, you know, get his pitches over and have the feel and just the, you know, the adrenaline and all that kind of stuff that you need to kind of get back into a rhythm? So, I mean, obviously the playoffs last year, he had some of those, you know, really rough outings. The one against Tampa was not good at all. But I think that more had to do with just being, you know, not on a mound for a year and a half. So I do think that he'll come back and contribute in some way. I don't think he's going to be like, you know, the 300 strikeout type guy that he was in, you know, 2017 or whatever it was. But yeah, I think he'll contribute, but I don't think he's going to, you know, take over the rotation and be the number one guy, obviously, and be pitching, you know, 7-8 innings or guy, you know, and being kind of like the Michael Wacha role right now, or Nick Pivetta even on his really hot streak. So it's good, you know, having him back in the mix, because, you know, you're not quite sure what's happening with Eovaldi and Whitlock right now with their injuries. So, I mean, it would be good to have, yeah, a more veteran guy back in the mix once he does get back. But yeah, I'm at this point not expecting him to kind of be the guy that, you know, we know from the past.
Is Tanner Houck the closer for this team for the rest of the season? I've always thought it should have been Whitlock. For some reason, the Red Sox seemed determined to make him a starter, but it just seems like this is Houck's job until he chooses to lose it.
Yeah, at this point, I would say, I don't know. You know, I'm thinking at the trade deadline, they're going to go out and get a couple of, you know, kind of late inning relievers to kind of supplement Houck, but who knows? Maybe they end up going out and get someone that's more of a legit closer. I think it kind of depends on where they are at that point, you know, in another 3 weeks or so. At this point, though, yeah, I would say Houck will be in that role the rest of the year. And there's also the possibility if Eovaldi comes back and Sale comes back, and then maybe they are going to slide Whitlock back into the, you know, into the bullpen. But it is a lot of back and forth for him. So I think there are still a lot of moving parts there. I don't think they've always kind of said the guys like don't have set roles, which would be confusing, I feel like, for a lot of people. But I don't know. I think, like you said, long term Whitlock, I think they want to be a starter, and they tried it this year. And, you know, he had some good starts. He's had some not so good starts, and now he's hurt. So, well, maybe just put him back in the bullpen for the rest of the year and see where he goes from there. But as to your question, yeah, I think Houck for now, you know, has the spot, you know, obviously after Toronto, and we'll see what they do with the trade deadline.
All right, Jen McCaffrey, a little bit of old school, you know, you got starters going late into games and everything else. That's what's happening with the Red Sox right now. She writes about them for The Athletic. Thank you so much for the time.
All right, thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
All right, thanks, Jen.
There you go.
I do love how Aaron Judge, because, I mean, the guy knows he's going to get paid. And he's basically got the Yankees by the balls. Yesterday, after his walk-off home run, he said this, you know, peacocking just a little bit.
There was no panic all day, you know, even though we were getting no hit for a while. There was just no panic. You know, we trust in each other. We trust in this team. And when you got the fans like this, you know, you can do anything you can. You can do anything you want.
You mentioned the no panic. Where does that confidence, that quiet confidence come from this team?
Oh, when you're the best player on the team, you know, how can you not?
Just shower me with cash. Just throw the cash. What are we thinking, $300 million?
Do you think he meant to say we're the best team on the planet?
No, he said we're your best player in the game. It almost sounds like he's referencing something somebody said about him, and he's joking around about it because it's just so unbelievably cocky if otherwise.
Yeah, it sounds like... Yeah, it doesn't sound like something someone would just say.
Right. It almost sounds like, and maybe it's out there that it's being referenced, but I did hear that clip, and I'm like, wow, well, that's a guy who, or he's just pissed that the way things are going with the Yankees and wants to rub it in their face a little bit.
He's on pace for 62 homers, about 90 extra base hits. I mean, this is a contract year for him.
This is steroid era stuff.
This is 8 years, $300 million. That's what this is.
Well, he deserves every penny. All right, when we come back, I've been told there's, and I've actually seen some of this.
Oh, I was sent it about 40 times, Fred, as I'm sure you were.
Yeah, an emergency fart court must take place. We'll have that for you here in the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Now, more Toucher and Rich.
I mean, look at us. We are just three intimidating sons of bitches.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Perfect music on Toucher and Rich to take us into the next segment.
Why? I'm trying to think. Trying to think of the tie-in.
It's just a happy, you know.
I thought it was because maybe the lead singer looks like he could possibly one day be in this. Like how he looks now, not back in the day.
Just caught in between days of farts. I mean, why not? I mean, that's kind of life we're living, baby.
Sure. If only there were a cure for farts.
He said it was true. Caught in between. Without poo. All right.
There's nothing better, Fred, than when you look down at your mentions on Twitter and just all of a sudden they've blown up and you know that there's something special that the listeners have clung on to and want to make sure you're aware of. Yes, there is indeed hell in a cell. And what was the thing? Scissor my ass or something in the tweet?
Hey, sweet cheeks, throw me my scissors, you silly goose.
I think that's actually the quote that he put out there yesterday. But it is time to do God's work. An in-house fart court.
Really?
Yes. And if anything, we are fair. We are not going to declare somebody guilty or not guilty without going through the evidence. And the one man who likes to stew up a fart or two, Mr. J. Stu, has been...
Yeah. It's Saturday.
He's taking
Saturday,
the stand.
July 23rd at Death Before Dishonor.
That's right. Mr. J. Stu, who on the Felger and Maz television show, which is great because the fact that, like, one person recorded this and one person found it, it just blew up. It's like probably the same person who screen capped the picture of Maz who happened to be looking at a picture of, like, you know, just some woman with her clothes on his computer.
Let's go, Tony Storm.
What? Tony who?
Hashtag AEW Forbidden Door.
That's right. That was an actual tweet last night.
The door is very forbidden.
Which was the scissor one? I'm trying to find that one.
Scissor my ass, daddy, or something like that.
Oh, no, it's scissor me daddy ass.
You were close. Daddy ass.
That's
okay,
right.
It's even better.
You were close.
All right. Hashtag AEW Forbidden Door.
Don't want to go there.
It's like behind the green door, only instead of sex.
It's forbidden.
Hang on. You never saw behind the green door. It was forbidden at a time, too.
That's true.
But instead of sex in Marilyn Chambers, it's a bunch of guys with ladders.
What?
They're climbing them and falling off of them like there's no tomorrow.
Tables, ladders, and chairs, Rich.
Okay, I see.
Oh, my. Oh, my.
Oh.
Tomatoes, potatoes, and chairs. Oh, my, too.
Did the producer make a juicer? Did Jay Stu go number two? I can't think of any better ones for Jay Stu.
Hey.
Yes.
Hey, guys. Hey, guys. Scissor me, daddy ass.
Did a squeezer come out of his daddy ass? This is okay. They're going to commercial here, which is the best part. And there's a picture of Jay Stu. The video's on Jay Stu. You know how they do on the broadcast? They get like a side shot of him.
Yeah, I told them not to, but okay. They couldn't resist.
All right. So it's like headlines are done, but then Jay Stu is leaning over. And the minute he leans over is where you might have heard a fart.
I'm Matt McCarthy on Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5, the Sports Hub. Your next update, 30 minutes.
Boston's Home for Sports.
Felger and Maz.
I'm Matt McCarthy, and I'm sitting here farting.
But the video shows Jace too.
It might show Jace too doing whatever the heck it is.
He's like leaning.
He's leaning to the right like some senator leaning right.
Okay.
I'm Matt McCarthy. And I've had it up to here with the Red Sox.
All right,
screw him.
You sound like Lindsey Graham. All right, so let's take a listen here one more time. Did Jace do, or maybe it was Matt McCarthy. Who knows?
But maybe it was me. Hey, guy. Shouts out to the Carther.
Okay. Let's hear that once more time.
I'm Matt McCarthy on Boston's Home for Sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub. Your next update, 30 minutes.
Boston's Home for Sports.
Felger and Maz.
That was me choking a cat. Hey, yeah, by the way, Matt McCarthy one day came up to me and he goes, oh my God, I laughed so hard when you do that imitation to me. And I'm like, I didn't know who he was. And I'm like, who's this giant and why am I making fun of him? Matt McCarthy's like a giant.
He's about 6'5". He's a big dude. Yeah.
And he's like a big fella. Like, he could easily kick my ass. No, that was just me drowning things.
See, that almost sounds like someone's voice, doesn't it?
No, it sounds like what you think it sounds like. Play it again.
Okay. Let's one last time. Let's take a listen. Is this indeed a Jace 2 fart?
I'm Matt McCarthy on Boston's Home for Sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub. Your next update, 30 minutes.
Boston's Home for Sports.
Felger and Maz.
Okay. That is someone's last breath. That is something's last breath.
Right before they go into the water?
Well, what I do is, it's interesting that you say that, because I give all my kittens tub bursts, and then it's a survival of the fittest as you can get out.
I don't know what that is.
That's the sound.
Okay.
That's the sound.
That's the sound of something like choking somebody out.
No, that's the sound that you are playing.
I know it is. It sounds like someone like choking, like.
It sounds like, I'm not making it up, it sounds like a cat.
All right, 617-779-0985. I want to know, is it a fart? And if it isn't a fart, what do you think it is? Because I'm going to go ahead and judge. Not a fart.
Oh, no, there's no way it's a fart.
It's not a fart, but no. What the hell was that? Dan O'Brien.
Ha, ha, ha.
Dan O'Brien. Well,
if you want to take phone calls, but I know exactly what it is.
Okay, what do you think it is?
So going to commercial break, this was recorded off of the television. There is a live read that whoever is in the studio, whether it was Felger or Maz on Friday, has to do.
Yeah.
Television didn't cut away soon enough, because if you listen to the very end of it, the promo that is being played at the end is actual TV audio.
Yeah, so, it's me killing the cat, too.
Okay.
And again, I don't think unless Jace, too, had this microphone on that I'm sitting in front of, it would not have been picked up from the control room.
Yeah, but whose voice is that? Like,
So who was on Friday? Was it Felger or Maz?
No, it was Jim, Matt McCarthy, and Adam Jones. And it doesn't sound like any of them.
Somebody had a live read.
Okay, but it doesn't sound like any of them.
So
somebody said, "Is the guy? Was it the guy in the trunk being choked out?"
Yeah.
Okay, wait, did you enjoy
them back to back?
Unbelievable. Yeah.
Okay, see.
Play the two of them back to back.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a rite of passage. Yeah. Okay.
Well, if it was a live read,
let me ask this:
guy,
hang on, guy in the trunk. Did you just pass that cat?
Yeah.
What'd it sound like?
It's a rite of passage.
I mean, if you went by what it sounded like, if you asked 100 people on the street what that sounds like, they would all say a cat.
Yeah, it does sound like a cat.
And we did not manipulate that audio. Regardless, whatever you think is being done to the cat, if you played that to 100 people, 90 people are going to say a cat. Just making a coat.
Someone said it's the sound of the druids appearing.
The boneyard.
Chewing's in the boneyard.
And by the way, Jay Stu said guilty, which he did not fart. No, that's not. Fart. I think he's just played along.
Yeah, he is. I'm making a stool for Tony Storm out of deceased cat fur. Only the freshest. Meow. Meow, meow, meow.
Can you smell what Stu's cooking? Say mercy. Feel the pain. Cool beans.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Anything goes in the dungeon. The stew.
The stew.
And downstairs is our award-winning... What are you going to do about it? No way, Jose. Karate chop. One look at me, and you'll be like, James Stewart from 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, what if his farts do sound like cats?
Well, that would be full circle then.
Just because a noise is coming from where I'm sitting doesn't mean it's gas. It could be when I lifted my leg, just enough room came for the cat to finally exhale.
What if he has suffocated so many cats by sitting on him that his farts now smell like, they sound like cats? I think Friday was Bring Your Cat to Work Day, and Jay's too old his cat to say something on the mic.
Yeah, it was, and they all got away. Hey, I don't know what happened to your cat. Okay. It must have gotten away when they were taking out all the stuff.
All right, well, we need a ruling. I say not guilty. Judge Schertenlieb is on the record. Not guilty is a fart. I still don't know what exactly it is. Judge Wallach.
Not guilty.
All right.
No, not guilty.
Judge Fred.
Oh, of course not guilty.
What's hysterical is that there is a guy who sent me like a month ago a fart court that I really had to dug out. It was from Tiki and Tyranny, I think. And I listened to it, and, you know, I appreciate the guy doing it, sending it to me. But it obviously wasn't a fart. It wasn't even worth, like, playing. And he gets very angry when we do fart court and we don't play his fart. So it's very bad.
That's what this has turned into?
Yes. He goes, you promised you'd get to it. You said you'd let it breathe, and now you're doing an emergency one. What gives? It's been deemed not a fart by me. What's the is it a probate court that it has to go through first before it gets to the Supreme Court or some sort of other court?
Sure.
It's a smaller judge.
Yeah, it's some ancillary court that doesn't, that just mops up the crap. There's no question.
It sounds like that stupid beginning to the song Thrift Shop by Macklemore. I'm getting a lot of Brass Monkey. We've had Ass Monkey before. There are farts that sound exactly like Brass Monkey, but it has like a harder tone to it. That's not the one, I don't think.
Who's that kitty in the window? Maybe would like to die. Who's that kitty in the window? Hey, want to come home and spend some time in my garage?
What are you talking about?
I'm thinking of a song it sounds just like.
Well, there's farts that sound like Wild Thing. We've heard that before. I mean, obviously. When
Let's do it.
Yep.
Throw it in there.
Wow. That one is just the best. Because that one like curls up notes. Like that one's like several different notes together.
Well, that was the great one that was caught on the Ring camera, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, that's right.
That's like the rare fart court where it's just like... No question. Like, that was like a once-in-a-lifetimer for that guy. And he was fortunate enough to get it on audio. Yeah. That wasn't like some muffled, Biden, like, slipper or like a Trump flipper or anything else.
No.
That was a man who just had some real intestinal pain going on and had to release it. And then lucky for him, at first he was like, probably, dear God, that's been on tape. And now he probably is like, thank God that has made it onto tape.
Sure.
For all to hear.
Right. I mean, there's plenty of stuff that we've heard before that sound like farts. I mean, sound like songs. I mean, there's...
This is the best one, though. The best one is the slow one.
Reaction. Reaction.
It's Marcus Spears.
Reaction.
Best one is
3X2s.
And hopefully the last one you'll play is the... It might even be an original, but it's... No.
The harp music. You need the harp music.
The harp music.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
If this is the last one we're going
to
play.
I mean, if I know where it is, I'm trying to find it. Mike's gone. I'm trying to find it.
I mean, leave the people with some classical music.
I'm trying to find it. I know, that's one of my favorites of the musical one. There's one called Giuliani Fart Song.
I don't even know what this is.
I don't know this one. This is brand new.
It says Giuliani Fart Song. Was that Giuliani?
Did that not make air when he made it? What happened?
I don't think that's one of... That doesn't sound like one of ours.
I see one called Van Halen Fart.
Not Van Halen, but all right.
This is terrible. Oh, my God.
You see any optimism here?
That was terrible.
That was so terrible.
That was great. Like a fifth grade Photoshop.
That was a Master P album cover in audio form.
Wow, that was... All right, so you can't find the art.
I don't know what it's called. I'm looking... Dude, I searched fart. And there's the, I've got.
I mean, well, you can't do. I mean, if you search fart, 5 million.
I've got VH again. Fart. I've got snooker
I'm searching
fart.
Harp. I'm searching.
Let me see.
Song.
Hang on.
Yeah.
This is the guy farting who's playing snooker. Is that what this? Oh yeah, there's the guy who farted there.
Yeah.
I've got Bell fart. I've got King fart. I've got Fred fart. Brown fart. Lenny fart. I've got fart dash blazing. What is that? What that is.
It's probably Blazing Saddles. Yeah. All right.
I got Woods fart. I mean,
all right. Very good. We can't find it. If we can't find it, we
Mike,
find
Mike,
it.
Come on. Tweet, text us. I have no idea what this is called.
All right. We'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.